Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Well, welcome to Casper Faith today. It is wonderful to have you with us, and we are one third of the way through our 21 days of prayer and fasting. How many of you have been praying and fasting? Several of you, that's fantastic. I have had some wonderful prayer times, both personally, but also in our group times, as we've been meeting Monday through Fridays from noon to 1 p.m. I just encourage you that if you have not participated in our group times or even started personally prayer and fasting, it's not too late. Look at your neighbor and say, it's not too late. You can still hop in. We have 2 weeks left. And I believe God is going to do, He already is doing some wonderful things, and He will continue to do that. And I am just excited about what He's doing. I'm enjoying it very much personally, and I'm losing a little weight in the process. So how many know that's a good thing? That's a good thing. There are benefits to prayer and fasting more than you can ever imagine. All right. By the way, tonight, 5 to 6 p.m., I want you to come to prayer and say, some of you might say, you want me to come tonight and spend an hour in prayer? You want me to come tomorrow, spend an hour in prayer? How am I going to do that? What we do is you come, I share a brief little message, we sing a worship song, we flow into prayer, and it's really easy. There are prayer cards on the side for people's needs that you can pray for. We have little prayer guides of prayer needs for the church, and you just talk to God. I tell you, it flies quickly. And then we wrap it up with prayer, with a worship song, and I pray corporately. We agree together, and an hour flies by really quick. You'd be surprised. I'm going to give you the life challenge, the life cereal challenge, okay? How many know what the life cereal challenge is? It's what they said. Try it, you'll like it. Hey, Mikey, he likes it. Try it, you'll like it, okay? Come one time. Just join us. We want you to join us at least one time throughout the next 2 weeks. Okay, let's open our Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 11 and 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Luke 11 and 1 Chronicles 4. This is week 3 of our series called Teach Us to Pray, where we are simply trying to meet a need that studies show that is one of the main needs, one of the main desires that Christians have. And that is, I want to know how to pray better. Teach me how to connect with God. Help me to pray better. I need to know how to pray. And that's what we're doing this series. And Luke chapter 11, verse 1 is our theme verse for the series. It's up on the screen. It says, it came to pass as Jesus was praying in a certain place that when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. There was something so special, so powerful about Jesus' prayer that even though the disciples, who were very spiritual and had grown up very spiritual people, when they saw Jesus pray, they said, you have something that's different. We want it. Teach us to pray. And that's what we're learning this week, is how to pray, or these next few weeks, is how to pray. And Jesus' response is something that we call the Lord's Prayer. And some people just pray the prayer like that's what Jesus said. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven, give us a day. And they just pray it like that. Now, hopefully you pray it a little bit slower, okay? But, and you know, there's nothing wrong with that. You can do that, but that's not what Jesus was referring to. Jesus said, this is a pattern. This is an outline. This is a model. When you pray, here are things that you should include in your prayers. And so that's what he was talking about. And look at verse 2. It says, when you pray, say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We talked about the very first week. Hallowed be thy name means to start with worship. Hallowed means to set apart, to lift up, to exalt, to reverence. God wants us to start by worshiping him. And that is a great way to start prayer, is to begin by praising and singing songs to him, praising him for what he's done for you, for your salvation, for all the things, entering his gates with thanksgiving with your heart and into his courts with praise. Start with worship. And then he goes on to say, when you're finished worshiping, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so after we finish worshiping, we are to pray for God's will for our life. We're to pray for His plans, for His purposes to be accomplished, what He has for us. Long before you get to the list of things that you need, which is a lot of times where we usually start with prayer. God, I need this, I need that, I need this, I need that. And before we get to our needs, start with worship and then say, Lord, line me up with your will. Give me your will for my life. And here's the big idea for the day. If you're taking notes this morning, as the first spot, the first line of your notes, prayer is when we align our hearts with His will. Prayer is when you and I align our hearts up with the will of God so that we are in the vein of what He wants and we're not doing something that is counter to what He would desire for our lives. As we see what Jesus is saying, first pray. The first thing you pray is, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. Could it be that prayer is more than just coming to God with my to-do list and saying, here, God, take care of this? Could prayer be more than just where I'm coming to inform God what's going on in my life? And it's like, okay, God, you really haven't been paying attention to me? Because if you had, this would not be happening. How many have ever felt like that before? I mean, but that's not what prayer is. Prayer is not where I'm trying to get God involved on earth. It's where I am trying to get involved with God. Prayer is not where I approach God like some celestial Santa Claus where I say, you know, give me this, give me that, give me. My name is Jimmy. Come on, Jesus, give me. God is not Santa, all right? Prayer is when I'm lining up my heart. It's like what it talks about in Ephesians 2:6, that we are seated with Him in heavenly places, and now as I pray, I am aligning myself with where I'm seated with Him. That's what prayer is. It's wanting heaven to be manifested on earth instead of God just to take care of my needs. When we pray, Your kingdom come, Your will be done, on earth as it is heaven, we're saying, God, align my heart with Your will. And so you might say, okay, Craig, how do I practically pray the will of God? How do I do that? And this is where I want you to take a look at 1 Chronicles chapter 4 in your Bible. We're going to camp out here for the remainder of our time. 1 Chronicles 4, verse 9. There are four things listed here that are the will of God. And this is what God's will looks like. And so before we get into it, I want you to realize the book of Chronicles is like a census. It's the genealogies. The first few chapters of Chronicles are the genealogies that lists all the ancestries. And if you're like me, when I come to the genealogies, I put it in fast forward. How many do that? I mean, it's like, okay, he begat so-and-so, he begat so-and-so, he begat so-and-so, he begat so-and-so, blah, 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 and you know, and I fly through a chapter or two, how many ever along the genealogies is, and I just skim and I see the names and you know, there's nothing important there. But sometimes we miss out on what is important because in the middle of this genealogies here, the historian who's writing on the list of he begat, all of a sudden he says, hey, wait a second here, folks, I want to stop and tell you about this one guy who there was something so special about him that he deserves honorable mention. You just need to know something about his life. And the author just stops cold right in the middle of it, says two verses about a man named Jabez, and then he goes on, and this is the only place you read about Jabez. Nowhere else in the Bible do we hear about a man named Jabez, but there's something so special about him that God prompted the historian to say, hey, just pause for a moment in the midst of the begats and talk about this special guy. And Jabez prayed four things that really teach us how to pray the will of God for our lives. Let's pick it up in verse 9. It says, now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. The word Jabez, it means pain. That's what Jabez means in Hebrew. It means pain. A literal reading is, he will cause pain, or he causes pain. Now, I don't know about you, but that is a horrible name to have. When you think about it, here's my daughters, Aaron, Michaela, and Elise. Here's my son, Paul, and this here, this is Pain. I mean, how many of you would like to have the name Pain? You know, maybe your parents one time says, you're a pain in the neck, but I mean, that's different than having the name Pain everywhere you go. Hi, Pain, you know, out in the football field. And number 24, Pain Mellendorf. What a horrible name to give your kid. You just have to realize something about biblical names. No, my son is not a pain. He's Paul Mellendorf, not Pain Mellendorf, okay? You have to realize something about biblical names. Many times they were used to name their child with a situation they were going through at the moment. And his mom bore him in pain, so she called him Pain. Now, we did something similar with our first child, Aaron. Aaron's name means peace. And during my wife's pregnancy, I mean, before my wife was pregnant, I was a workaholic. And it was through my wife being pregnant, God began to work on my life saying, Craig, you need to change things around. You are responsible for raising this little girl in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You're not going to give any time to her, to your family. You've got to change things. And becoming a father brought balance and peace to my life. And as we're going through names and we saw Aaron, yeah, we liked the name. And when we saw it was Peace, it was just so appropriate. And so she's named Peace. That's what her name means. And that was a circumstance. She brought peace to my life because I got my priorities straight. And that's what happened to Jabez, but only on a negative note. He's pain. There's also a second aspect to biblical names. Names were given to children for a prophetic meaning. And so you received the name, and that was declaring your destiny. So here, Jabez, his destiny is one of pain. I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound like a very fun life. You talk about being the black sheep of the family. That's who Jabez was. And parents, I just want to say, when you're naming your kids, think through playground dynamics. Okay? When we were naming our kids, we skipped the whole letter B section. There was no Blake, there was no Brenda, because the initials BM are not good for a kid to have. Think of that. Jabez was not so lucky. He's a pain. And that's his label, that's his destiny for life. And this is what it says. And here, I want you to realize, I want you to think about your pain today, because some of you are in pain. And if you're going to get the most out of this message, you need to take your pain and do what Jabez did. And what does verse 10 say? It says, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, or pain called. That word called is better translated cried out. In fact, the NIV says cried out. The word called is the same Hebrew word when it says the children of Israel cried out to God to be delivered from 400 years of slavery. There was wailing. There was weeping. God, help us, deliver us from slavery. And that's what Jabez is doing. He is crying out of his pain. And this is what he cries out. He cries out and he says, oh Lord, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. And because his prayer was more honorable, he was more honorable than his brothers, it says God granted him what he requested. And friends, as Jabez cried out these four things, the pain he was associated with was no more. If you're in pain this morning, you need to begin to cry out for the will of God in your life. Because what happens to most of us? When we get in pain, what does our prayer life sound like? God, here's my pain. Do something about it. I mean, that's usually the first words out of our mouths. But Jabez does not do that. Jabez does not start out with, God, here's my pain. In fact, he doesn't even mention his pain. Now, I think it is good to mention your pain. The word we read this morning is, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Cast your burdens on me. Take my yoke. It's good to tell God our pain, but before you get to your pain, begin to ask for God's will for your life. Because sometimes that very pain you're going through, God will use your pain to touch others who are going through that exact same pain. What are the four ways, the four things we need to know to line up with the will of God if we're going to pray the will of God? Write this down if you're taking notes this morning. Number one, pray for blessing. Pray for blessing. And by the way, I'm going to challenge each of us every day for the next 2 weeks, the remainder of our 21 days of prayer and fasting, I want you to pray these four things, okay? And I'm not going to tell you what the rest are. How many say, I'm going to pray the next 2 weeks these four things? It might be scary. All right, some of you got faith. Some of you say, I'm going to hold out to the end and see what you say, Craig. Uh-huh. I'm not going to sign up yet. Well, you just wait. You'll have your chance at the end, all right? But the first one is pray for blessing. And what does Jabez say? He says, oh, that you would bless me indeed. That word indeed is like putting 5 exclamation points behind it. Or it's like putting it in bold, underline, all caps. Bless me a lot! That's what he's saying. Bless me indeed. Now, there's a big misunderstanding about blessing today. Because blessing is not name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, bleep it, reap it. Okay? Blessing is not something grandma says after we sneeze. Okay? Blessing is this. Blessing means to impart supernatural favor. I can handle some supernatural favor. How about you? That's what blessing means. To impart supernatural favor, it means asking for some of God's unlimited favor, his unlimited kindness, his unlimited goodness that only he has the power to give us. God, you have something that I can't give myself. Pour out your supernatural favor upon me. And that's what Jabez does. That's what Jabez does. And notice this. He does not say, and this is the blessing, $1 million, a brand new car, a brand new boat. No, he doesn't say any of that. He leaves the blessing up to God. He just says, bless me, God. Whatever lines up with your will, bless me a lot with it. And that's what we need to pray. We need to say, God, just bless me. Bless me a lot. There are some people, some Christians that do not really believe God wants to bless us. We have a mentality like, I have to earn the blessings of God. I have to do the right things, and if I do the right things, then God will bless me. But friends, that's not what the Bible says. Psalm chapter 5, verse 12 says, for surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as a shield. You see, some of us see God as a withholder. He withholds blessings and I have to earn them. No, it says he blesses the righteous. Now, who are the righteous? The righteous are not those who do good things, because the Bible says all of my righteous deeds, all my attempts at doing good deeds and being righteous are like filthy rags. They're dirty. The Bible says that it's not by works, good works, that we are saved. It's by his grace that he has saved us. It's not by works of righteousness we have done, but it's according to his mercy. You and I cannot earn our way into heaven. And some of us were taught growing up in church. I was taught if I did the right things, I could be righteous. I'd have my sin taken away. Friends, our sin is not taken away by what we do. Our sin is taken away by what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. And we're told in Romans that when we ask Jesus to forgive us and cleanse us, and he saves us from our sin, he gives us his righteousness. If you have a relationship with Christ, you're already righteous. Look at your neighbor and say, you're righteous, dude. That takes you back to a phrase used a few years ago, huh? And notice what, you want another old phrase? It says, not maybe, but for surely. For surely, dude, the Lord blesses the righteous. It's not a flippant phrase, for sure. How many use that? For sure, like for sure. No one wants to admit it. But it's not a flippant phrase, like for sure, dude, yeah. It is a promise. For sure, the Lord blesses the righteous. God is not a withholder. He wants to bless us wildly, exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or imagine. It's just that so many of us don't realize what God has in store for our lives. But Jabez did. He says, lay it on me. Bless me indeed. Now, why does God want you to be blessed? This is where the trails went kind of bad for some people. Some people think, well, I want to be blessed with a new Cadillac. I want to be blessed with a bigger bank account, a bigger house, a bigger boat. I want to be blessed with things. And here's the thing. God does not want to bless us so that we have more. God wants to bless us so that you and I can be a blessing. God wants to bless us so that we can be blessings. And we see this with the life of Abraham. And if you don't think God wants to bless you, let me ask you this. How can you encourage someone if you don't have any encouragement yourself? You need to be blessed with encouragement if you're going to give it away. How can you give peace if you don't have any peace in your own life? How can you help others have a good marriage if your marriage is falling apart? I need God to bless every area of my life so that I can bless other people in every area of their lives. In Genesis chapter 12, God says to Abraham, I will bless you and you will be a blessing to others. All the families on the earth will be blessed through you. You see, God said, I'm not just going to bless you, Abraham, so you can have a great life. You're going to be blessed so you can bless other people. And that's why God wants to bless us, because the world is only blessed with the kingdom of God if we give it to them. If we are full of God's blessing, then we give it to other people. And Galatians chapter 3, verse 9 tells us that the blessing of Abraham is given to us. That same covenant that Abraham has, we have. And just as that same responsibility, he had to be a blessing to all, we have that same responsibility. We are blessed to be a blessing. Turn to your neighbor and say, God wants you to be a blessing. The problem is that many of us are too focused on our pain. We're too hurting. We're saying, God, are you paying attention? I mean, I am really messed up here, and you don't seem to care. You're a little slow on the uptake. Wake up, God. And that's not what it's about. God wants us to see him as a blesser. Some of you have bought into the lie of the devil that God is a withholder, that you're the black sheep, you're the Jabez, you're the pain of his family, and that he blesses some people, but man, you just get some scraps. And friends, he wants to bless you indeed. You need deliverance today. You need deliverance because God has not called us to live a life of pain, to live a life of hurt, but he's called us to be overcomers, to be more than conquerors in Jesus Christ. Surely the Lord blesses the righteous. You see, some of us, if we don't think God's going to bless us, we don't ask. Matthew 7, verse 11 says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? But some of us don't ask because I don't think God's going to bless me. And friends, I'm going to be honest with you. I have struggled with this aspect of God being a blesser. I have struggled with that through my life. The devil says, Craig, God doesn't want to bless you like he's blessed other people. I mean, you're just the son of a tractor mechanic from a small town in southeastern South Dakota. You think God can do anything great with you? I mean, you're not like Andy Stanley, who grew up in a great home with Charles Stanley, a famous preacher. I mean, you think God can really use you? And friends, the devil, if he can't keep us out of heaven, he wants to make us feel like we can't do anything, that God won't use us, that God won't bless us. Because if he can do that, God's kingdom will not come and his will not be done. If you and I catch a hold of this principle that God wants to bless us so we can bless others and extend His kingdom, it would revolutionize the world if all believers walked in that. God wants to bless us. That's the first thing we need to do if we're going to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done for ourselves. And I want you to begin to pray that for our church. God, bless our church indeed. Bless our church indeed. This past week in our corporate prayer time, someone gave me a word for our church. They couldn't be here today, but they says, I felt God gave this to me. If you feel like it can be used, use it. This is what the word was. The Lord said, I want my church to know, as they are getting ready for the harvest, I am sending the servants to help in the harvest. I have the ones for this church to step into their place. The church will see growth in numbers, and their faith I will build and I will increase. God will build and increase our faith. And friends, there are some of you here this morning, you see God as a withholder and not a blesser. And as long as you do that, you're not going to be mightily used of God. I believe God wants to turn you from seeing Him as a withholder to a blesser. He's going to build and increase your faith. You're going to be one of those laborers God gives us to help us harvest this city. He wants to bless you indeed. He wants to bless this church indeed, because He has a job for us to reach this city and this state for Jesus. Pray for blessing. Let's move on. The second thing that we need to pray for God's will to be done, is pray for influence. Pray for influence. Jabez prayed, enlarge my territory. Territory means sphere of influence. It involves having more opportunities, having more impact. And Jabez was saying, God, if you're going to bless me with all this stuff, now you have to open up doors of opportunity for me to use these blessings. God, you're going to have to enlarge my borders. You're going to have to expand my opportunities. Give me more territory. Give me more influence. How many of you think God wants His church to have more influence in the schools? Does God want us to have more influence in the government? Does God want us to have more influence in our society? Yes, so we need to begin to pray, God, give me more influence. Give me more influence at work, in my neighborhood. God, in the circles that I walk in. God, begin to expand those circles. Give me more circles. Push out the boundaries. Expand the horizons to build Your kingdom. That's what Jabez was praying. God, enlarge Your kingdom through me. The happiest people on the planet are those who know why they exist. Why do people commit suicide? Because they've given up hope. They have no more reason for living. If you've got a reason and a purpose for living, it energizes you. You wake up in the morning and you're excited to get out of bed. If you want to overcome your pain, say, Lord, expand my circles. Begin to give me influence. God, take me out of my pain. It's like the lady we talked about last week who was thinking of having a mental breakdown and she canceled it. She canceled it because she increased her border. She made the cookies and took them to the retirement home. She stopped looking at her pain and she looked to other people. Pray for influence in your life. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, Paul prayed this for the church. He says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you. Friends, God has called you and I to a hope. And Paul's saying, I want your eyes to be open and enlightened so you know what that hope is. It's not just the hope of heaven, but it's the hope of what you're going to do to touch people's lives. It's a prayer of influence. I want you to give hope to those around you. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it would be in heaven. God wants to bless us. And He wants to enlarge our territory, and we need to be open and willing for Him to do that. There is a church in Colombia, South America, that when you get saved, They take everyone who gets saved to a back room because they want to talk with them, but the first thing they do is there's a person with a Polaroid camera, and they snap a picture of a Polaroid to you, of you. And then you go and you talk with someone, and they talk about your new relationship with Christ, and when you're done, they hand you a brand new Bible. It's your first Bible, but they've done something to this Bible. Because in the Bible, there is a picture of a person in there, and what they have done is they have taken the Polaroid picture of you, and they've cut out your face, and they put your face on top of the person in the picture. Because the person in the picture is doing something. It's a picture of a person standing before a crowd of hundreds and thousands of people, and they're preaching the gospel. And so you open up this Bible, your first Bible, and it's you. And you're preaching to thousands of people. What this church is saying is that, hey, you have a destiny to fulfill. God wants to enlarge your borders. You may not see much of yourself now, but we know that God has something powerful in store for you. I want to find a bunch of those Bibles and start taking some Polaroids of us at Casper Faith. Because, friends, God sees so much potential in you and I, but we undersell Him, and we don't ask because we don't believe that He will bless and He will give us influence. But He wants His kingdom to come to earth. Ephesians 3:20, we read this last week. It says, to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Friends, God can do more than you pray for. And some of us are not even praying because we're too caught up in our pain. Okay. What has Jabez prayed for? He's prayed for what? Blessing and influence, okay? Now I want you to think about this. He says, God bless me when I have all these things you've blessed me with. Now give me opportunities to fulfill them. But here's the next thing he prays. He says, Lord, these opportunities are going to be so big, I can't do them on my own. I'm not capable. And so here's the third thing he prays. He says, may your hand be upon me. And that is to pray for the presence of God. Not only do we need blessing and we need influence, but we need the presence of God in our lives. Because the things God wants to give us, we can't do them in our own power. We need His power. We need Him with us. And the hand of God refers to the presence of God. In 1 Samuel chapter 5, verse 6 and 9, it says that the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines. It's like God was fighting against the Philistines. His presence was there and He was fighting. We see in the hand of the Lord was with Ezra, and the king gave him all that he requested in Ezra 7, 6. We see that in Luke 1:66, the hand of the Lord was with John the Baptist from his birth. Wow, isn't that neat? The hand of the Lord, God was with John from the time he was a baby. We see in Acts 11:21, the hand of the Lord was with the church, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Friends, the hand of God is when God showed up. The hand of God is when God comes on the scene and He does exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or imagine. And we need to pray, God, I need your presence. I can't do it on my own. Some of you are here this morning saying, Craig, you're talking about these great dreams, these great miracles, these big things God wants to do, but you got to realize, I'm just me. I'm just a son of a tractor mechanic from a small town in southeastern South Dakota. You know what? That's why you need God's presence, because you can't do it, but He can. I can do some things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We need to begin to pray for the presence of God in our lives. And friends, insecurity is common. I have heard pastors of mega churches say they still deal with insecurity in their lives. I once heard a gentleman who was the general secretary of the Assemblies of God, and that means he is the third highest ranking leader in our fellowship in the Assemblies of God, and he said, to this day, I still have to deal with feelings of insecurity, with self-esteem, low self-confidence. I have to go and get it from God. The devil wants to beat us down because if we feel we can't do anything, we won't attempt anything, we won't ask anything. And that's why we need to pray, God, give me your power. God, when I go to work tomorrow, you're going to surround me with favor as a shield. Students, you're going back to school tomorrow. You need to say, I'm going in here. God is going to bless the righteous. I am blessed. He's surrounding me as with a shield. And God, give me influence in these hallways. God, give me influence in the classroom. Give me influence on the sports field, in the band room. Give me influence in the locker room. And God, let your hand be upon me. Because what you want to do in my school, what you want to do in my work, what you want to do in my neighborhood is more than I can imagine, and I need you. Pray for blessing, pray for influence, pray for the presence of God in your life. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3, 5 to 11, he said, we are competent in our, excuse me, he says, not, I forgot an important part there, everyone say not. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Friends, I want you every day for the next 2 weeks to begin to pray what Jabez prayed. Give me blessing, give me influence, give me presence. And then here's the last thing he prayed. He said, protect me. Because here's the thing. If God begins to bless you and he gives you more opportunities and God's hand is upon you and the devil's kingdom starts falling and the kingdom of heaven comes, what's the devil going to do? He's going to put you on his hit list. He's not going to like that. And so you and I need the protection of God. And Jabez said, keep me from evil. Keep me from evil. Keep me from harm. Keep me from wickedness. And we need to pray, God, protect us. 1 Peter 5:8 says, the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Friends, we have a real enemy. And the more we do for God, the higher we go up on the devil's hit list. But we're told in Psalm 3, verse 1 to 3, the psalmist says, Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. But you are a shield around me, O Lord, and you bestow glory on me and lift up my head. It doesn't matter how many enemies, how much we're attacked, God will surround us with a shield. God will protect us. And that's why Jesus, when he taught the disciples to pray in the Lord's Prayer, what did he say? He said, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from the evil one. Keep me from evil. Keep me from sin. Keep me from temptation. You see, some of us, we throw ourselves into temptation, say, oh, God, help me through this temptation. It's so tough. You know what God wants us to stay and said? Why don't you pray that you don't even walk into temptation? Pray to be led out of temptation that you don't even see it. We need to begin to pray, God, keep me out of temptation. Don't bring it across my path. And God, protect my family, protect my spouse, protect my kids. God, keep me from evil because I don't want to cause pain. Because when I sin or when I do not bring the kingdom of God to earth, there are people around me that are not receiving help and I'm even inflicting pain in some circumstances. To pray a prayer that lines up with God's will. Pray for blessing, influence, help me out, presence, and protection. I challenge us all in the next 2 weeks to do two things. One, I want you to come to at least one of our corporate prayer times. Tonight, Monday through Friday of this next week, or Monday through Friday of next week. come to one of those times and then begin to pray what Jabez prayed: blessing, influence, presence, protection. I want everyone to bow their heads and close their eyes this morning.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us casperfaith@gmail.com or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.